When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Affected by Altitude, a Colorado Rockies podcast for and by Rockies fans on Rocky Mountain Rooftop. Thank you for joining us as we discuss all things baseball and Colorado Rockies.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Affected by Altitude, a Colorado Rockies podcast, part of the Rocky Mountain Rooftop Network, part of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Skylar Timmons, and joined here once again, as always, is our cohort, co-host, partner in crime here on this show, owner of a cat, Evan Lang.
Owner of a cat, indeed. And, you know, after the hit success of our last episode, Nike sent me a pair of their new pants to set the record straight and, you know, show that they're really not as bad as everyone's making them out to be. So let me just show them off to the camera here. And oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, no. Censor that. Censor that.
Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all. Didn't the Fanatics guy, I didn't see what his comments were on Friday. Didn't he have some press conference or like some conversation?
He was at some sort of conference and he spoke. This is, what's his name? Michael Rubin, the CEO of Fanatics, basically going, we did everything the way that MLB and Nike told us to, and it's not fair that we are getting, he said, and I quote, kick the S out of. But I'm sorry, the Fanatics really doesn't have the benefit of the doubt to leverage that comment, especially when over the last couple of years they have a pretty bad reputation for poor quality merchandise and rushed products and things like that. And even before these new jerseys, you know, NHL fans have been dreading next season because Fanatics is taking over the manufacture of NHL jerseys. And this was before the whole fiasco with the new MLB jerseys. So I think it shows you that, you know, yeah, maybe there's a little bit of unfair dragging through the mud of Fanatics through this, because it is ultimately, it's Nike's spec and it's MLB's choice. And they're the ones who submitted these designs, and it could be entirely true that Fanatics went, I mean, we just did everything according to spec. But if while you were doing this, you would have found out during all of the creation process and all the manufacturing process of seeing these issues, and you didn't. And it's not like before that you had this sterling reputation.
Yeah. It's a mess. There's a lot more than just Fanatics. Like, hey, we're just making the pants. We're just following orders, which has always been a great excuse in history.
That's been a great defense.
But
worked
anyways,
out really well for a lot of people that have used that defense.
Yeah, exactly. But we're not here to talk about pants, even though maybe you want us to. But we figured 20 to 30 minutes a week ago was probably enough.
But hey, tell us if we're wrong.
Yeah.
We'll change the title to Affected by Pants. Pants
affected
by Altitude.
Affected by Fashion. Fashion by Altitude?
I like Affected by Pants.
Anyways, we'll keep moving right along here because we have Rocky stuff to talk about. And this first segment, I think, Evan, I'm going to dedicate it to one that's kind of on everybody's plate right now, everybody's mind, of a certain Athletic article that was released just a couple days ago. From Sam Blum, because the Rockies do not have the Athletic doesn't have a beat reporter strictly for the Rockies. Fortunately, Nick Groke not there anymore. He was part of those layoffs a little while ago. But it got people a little hot and bothered, and not in the good way, more in the bad way, where they're steamed, and no, not happy with some comments that they found in the article, because essentially, and I think Evan's pulling it up right now, essentially, people got the feeling that, oh, Chris Bryant regrets signing with the Rockies, because Sam Bloom has this conversation with him, asking him, you know, what's it like from that journey of stardom coming up with the Cubs? And then a question on everybody's mind, why the heck did you sign with the Rockies, a team that you know is bad? Why did you sign there? And so it all kind of compounded, and you know, people aren't too happy. Thomas Harding and Chris Bryant had to have an interview, asked to be interviewed on Friday with MLB.com with Thomas Harding to kind of clarify some comments. But we're going to get into this, Evan, and initial thoughts, because I know you were bothered by that article, when like a lot of people, when it initially dropped.
So I think, and this is, it's unfortunately what a lot of sports news kind of boils down to, is trying to get readers to have that initial reaction. And I admit that I fell into the trap, because when I first read the article, I was very frustrated and disappointed by what I had read. And I think there were a couple other of us at Purple Row who felt the same. There's lots of folks online who have been talking about this a lot over the last couple days. But rereading it again and having actually talked it out with you, Skylar, with Renee, with a bunch of other people, it's not really as bad as it's made out to be. And then you further compound that with Bryant setting the record straight with Thomas Harding on Friday. And I think it's a lot more understandable. And I think, let me first preface this by saying, should Chris Bryant, a guy who has been in the league for this long, should he have chosen his words a little bit more carefully and maybe said some different things in this interview? Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm still a little bit disappointed that someone who's been in the league for this long said some of the things that he said. But when you look at him setting the record straight, talking about the context and what he was, you know, trying to accomplish by saying these things in this what was supposed to be a relatively candid interview, I don't think it shines as negatively on Chris Bryant as a lot of people think it does. We've seen a lot of like, oh, he regrets coming to the Rockies. Oh, you know, what an idiot. He signed with a bad team and now he wants out. We saw, of course, a really bad article from Deadspin, or the corpse of Deadspin. But, you know, they put out that article after Todd Helton got into the Hall of Fame that was one of the worst pieces of baseball journalism malpractice I'd ever read. So, yeah, I'm calling that shot. It was bad. But when you look at Chris Bryant and you look through what he said, looking at this article from The Athletic, you basically get more of a picture of, yes, the Rockies offered him a lot of money. They offered him the most money out of any of the teams that were courting his services, and he took that. He had been in conversations with the Rockies since before the lockout started, and then came back and he did accept that contract.
Yeah.
He says some things like he wasn't, didn't really know what the prospects were like, and for him coming to the Rockies. Basically, the quote that everyone is discussing here is where he says, "It's like, oh, shoot, I need to get there," Bryant said. "There were other teams interested, but I didn't want to wait around. It was a completely different situation for a lot of free agents at the time. I guess I didn't do as much research into the prospects as I could." But then The Athletic follows it up with saying, "It's a decision that now he has to live with for the next 5 years." And it does immediately push a negative context over the words that, if you look at them without that negative context, they're really not that bad. He goes, "It was a weird market because the lockout had just ended and I felt like I had to make a decision, and the Rockies offered me a darn good contract. And so I took it without really knowing what the prospects there were." Yeah. And Skylar, you and I have discussed this at length, is I think there's a diff. I don't think he was actually referring to the prospects in terms of the Colorado Rockies farm system.
Yeah. And I think now we can credit Renee over at Purple Row also, was a champion of this thought, which I think a lot of people Because it just seemed like it meshed weird. It was a journalistic interpretation by Sam Blum, who, dude, just gets some candid interviews and whacked out comments to have people pile on. Because notably, he covers the Angels a lot, and a certain Anthony Rendon's over there. But no, it's understandable. Put yourself in Chris Bryant's shoes. No, you just come out of the lockout, and yeah, you're a former MVP. And the thing for me is seeing Chris Bryant. He's a guy that wants to stick to himself. Evan, he's a reserved guy, and yeah, like I don't think a lot of players like having that pressure thrust upon them of, okay, you're going to be the superstar. You're supposed to do this, this, and this. Like, that's not a good way to play baseball and just to be a human being. Like, yeah, if you're getting paid that kind of money, there's a sense of pressure. But it's something of, okay, he comes to the Cubs. They erect a billboard worth the wait. No, he's the savior. He's going to save this team. And I don't think that was the Rockies' intent of he's going to be our savior. Now, we'll get into these comments in a second, but a friend of the show, Paul Holden, I agree with him wholeheartedly. Bill Schmidt's comments that we never signed him to be the face of the franchise. I think they signed him with intent to be one of the faces of the franchise, and it hasn't worked out. But it's but the prospects line, it seems out of the normal that a free agent would be talking to a team like, okay, who's your number one pick or who's your number one prospect and give me your top 10 prospects. Okay, I don't like this. I'm going to sign somewhere else. I don't think anybody's doing that. They look at the roster as it is, and then the team has to kind of and then we have these players. And I like his clarifying comments on MLB.com. It's like, I didn't know Brenton Doyle yet. I didn't know Ezequiel Tovar or Adel Amador. Like, I didn't know these guys yet, and now they're here. And so it's it's just a weird thing. And just weird wording, I think, because prospects mean something different in baseball than it does in, like, a general sense. So it's maybe some weird interpretation from Sam Blum. Or who knows, but it's, I can understand why people would be upset, but I can also understand how we're maybe misinterpreting what he was saying.
And I also think, if I'm being blunt, I do think that people sort of have blocked out the rest of the article, because there is a little bit more of a positive spin towards the end of it, where you've got one of his former hitting coaches talking about, like, you know, KB's a good person. He hates letting his teammates down. He tries so hard. And, you know, that's clearly happening in Colorado as well, because he's been hurt. You have Chris Bryant talking about how he likes being a guy that the younger players can lean on. You know, we saw him take up a big mentorship role with Nolan Jones last year, mm-hmm. despite the fact that he hadn't been playing that much, and talking about how what really matters is him doing the work that he needs to do on a daily basis, trying to, you know, not take playing baseball for granted, because it really is what he loves. And, you know, we've already seen a couple people try and parallel this with the saga with Anthony Rendon, where Anthony Rendon came out. It's like, yeah, I don't really like playing baseball. But, you know, I think that's not true for Chris Bryant, who we've already seen in interviews from him over this offseason going, I'm trying to be more joyful in playing baseball because this is what I love. And it's such a shame that a lot of the good from this has been drowned out, because he says, I feel like when you do something for so long, sometimes you lose touch with the reality of the situation and how cool it is. You kind of take it for granted sometimes. I don't take it granted, but we all fall into that mindset sometimes. It's a privilege to play this game.
Yeah.
And it's tough because it seems bad. And I think Rockies fans have also really been piling on Chris Bryant, both fairly and unfairly, since he came to Colorado. You know, hot off the heels of the Nolan Arenado trade, he signs a 7-year, $182 million contract, and then spends most of his first two seasons hurt. We get a lot of disparaging comments towards him over at Purple Row. If you go onto the Rockies subreddit, there's a lot of, you know, unpleasantness directed in Bryant's in Brian's direction. And I don't think, is it fair to go, man, this contract is really blown up in our face because he's been hurt pretty much the entire time? Yes, absolutely. But to blame that on Brian himself and to then take this interview and push it as he hates the Rockies, he hates being here, he regrets signing, is, I think, just, you know, you're falling for the bait, but it's also Rockies fans looking for someone to blame outside of ownership, outside of the front office. They need something a little more tangible to blame, because Dick Montfort has somewhat learned to keep his mouth shut and keep out of the public eye. Bill Schmidt has never really been a big public-facing persona. Yeah, he's out there every now and then. He does some interviews. But, you know, the front office is very insular and secretive. But you know who you get to see every day during the season is the players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people project a lot onto the players since they're the public-facing portion of your MLB franchise.
Yeah. And, you know, Evan, let's say the Oakland A's. This will never happen. Our hypothetical. No, I'm the Oakland A's, Evan. You're a big free agent. You know I'm bad, right? I'm the Oakland A's. I keep losing 100 games. I don't even have a home stadium here soon. But, Evan, I'm willing to give you 7 years, $182 million. What do you say?
Yeah, I'd probably say yes.
And like, because I know you've been hurt. You're still a top name. But, you know, this last couple years, you know, you're kind of shaky. But, hey, we want you. We've been following you forever, and I want you. You taking my deal?
Yes.
Oh, well, but do you regret signing here?
I mean, I think it depends.
Probably.
Probably a little
bit. In a way.
But there's a difference.
Because
there's this magical thing that so many people forget about. It's called nuance.
Huh?
And it's that no situation is identical. There's nuances and there's differences to every situation. And yeah, Chris Bryant probably didn't know when he first came to the Rockies what our prospect situation looked like, or really, you know, how far out of the contention window we were.
I think that's the thing.
Because you've got an ownership group that regularly says, oh, I think we're going to be really good. This is our year. Until this year, of course, where, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, we know the Rockies are probably not going to be good this year because, bass ackwards or not, we're in a rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think Chris Bryant definitely sees that now of, yeah, this team is not as close to contention as I thought they were. This team's a little far out. That does not mean, however, that he hates being here and, oh, the Rockies are the worst and I'm filled with regret for the signing and all of that stuff. And it's not quite the same as, like, for your hypothetical Oakland A's situation where former players, especially in the recent fan fest that the a bunch of entities in Oakland just held for fans of the Athletics, where teams are coming out and saying, you know, how that they got, you know, literally mistreated by the ownership, how the ownership is cheap, how the fans deserve better. And it's not the same situation. It's not. And I see the same thing of people keep predicting, and it's been in a couple of these articles, the Rockies are probably going to be as bad, if not worse, than the A's. And it's like, no, they're not. Yeah, there's a chance. There's always a chance. But to go out and say that is nonsensical. Because the two situations are not at all the same.
Yeah. I made this joke and nobody responded to it. I was like, the Rockies, I think, are really good used car salesmen because they can sell those junkers somehow. They slap that top of the car and they're like, this baby can go 400 kilometers.
You can fit so many 500 records in this bad boy.
Put it in H.
It'll go 400 hectares on a single tank of kerosene.
Put it in H. But that's, maybe they did oversell Chris Bryant, you know, the flattering thing, like, hey, we've always wanted you. Hey, here's all this money. You know, you're going to be an aircraft carrier for us. You're going to help be a leader. And, you know, that's probably flattering for Bryant. And, you know, I think everybody in baseball knows Rockies are an obscure team. You go there, nobody's really going to pay attention to you. And that's okay. That's fine if you want that. Chris Bryant, like we said, a reserve guy. No, enjoyed the success with the Cubs, but no, maybe didn't enjoy that pressure of expected superstardom. Now, when you sign that money, yeah, the expectations are going to be high. We expect you to be a star, Chris Bryant. We expect you to be a big contributor of this team and a leader on the field and in the box score and everything. But it's a... still trying to put my thoughts together. But it's one of those things where, hey, yeah, you're here now. And he enjoys it. I fully believe he does enjoy being here. He likes the organization. There's always glowing reviews from players about the organization, how they treat players, mostly. I'm sure there's a third baseman in Colorado or in St. Louis that would disagree. But overall, like, it's always a good organization. He likes the players. I think the players love him. He's taken on that mentor role, I think, where he's not expected to be that superstar, you know, super face of the franchise, top of the line. He's still going to be a face of the franchise, but he's expected to just be a leader now, the veteran leader to help lead the charge, yeah, to teach these young guys and be at that forefront of, okay, boys, let's go and let's become competitive. And I think with that overselling, look at what the Kansas City Royals did this offseason when they signed Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, a ton of these other guys. The thing that I noticed is, yeah, the game changer with his 60 home runs.
61 home runs, 23 RBI in 252 games last season.
But the Kansas City Royals, in those conversations, those free agents were like, yeah, the Royals sold to us this idea that we're in for the long haul. Here's their vision of what's coming for these next couple years. Now, we're going to try to compete this year, but if it doesn't happen, here's what we've got coming down the line, and we want to be part of that. And so maybe that's the type of approach the Rockies took some way. We can never really tell, but it's something where they're this unlikely marriage. They have to make it work. Yes, Chris Bryant has to play. He has to perform. He wants to. I don't think any the people that think, oh, he's doing this just because he's got paid and he doesn't care anymore, that's a bunch of baloney if you think that. These are professional ball players. There's only one, Anthony Rendon, who actively despises it. But Chris Bryant, he cares. And you can see it, his joy on the field. Hit a double in spring training, he's big old smile at second base. He's like, yes, I just did that.
Yeah, that first home run that he hit.
Yeah. Like, he wants to compete. He wants to play well. He has expectations of himself.
Yeah.
Just because he's a little more, like, laid-back persona and doesn't look like he cares, I can guarantee that dude cares more than probably anybody else on that team, especially because he knows what he's getting paid, and he wants to live up to that.
Yeah, and for KB, it's, I think we'll close out with this, is that remember that when he, before he had even been called up in Chicago, there were signs and billboards proclaiming him the savior of the Chicago Cubs. And he never really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he gets attributed as the Rockies brought him in to try and be the savior of the organization. And maybe that was the original intent from Dick Monfort in the front office when they first signed Chris Bryant. But I think he also understands that here, and you know, it's sort of unfair that we all pile on Chris Bryant for this, because you know who's another guy who does this exact same thing is one Charlie Blackman, beloved by all Colorado Rockies fans. Not a big guy for the spotlight, doesn't really love the national attention, gets it sometimes, is able to play into it, but mostly he just wants to do what he loves and play baseball.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's the way it is for a lot of guys, and just the added pressures of trying to win and chase a ring. No, that's a culture in sports. Like, it's important to try and win, and especially in professional sports. And that's the whole reason for the thing. But it's just trying to, I guess, be a leader, community. There's a lot more Chris Bryant could probably do in his time with the Rockies. If he's not playing, like, maybe, Chris, I'm sorry, but you do have to get out in front of the media a little bit more. Like, you got to be a leader in that aspect, too.
And
show the younger guys, like, hey, this is how you work with the media and stuff. It's part of the thing. Like, you can't just hide behind, get paid this much, and then just hide behind a curtain. Hide around in your, hide in your locker. I need to see you outwardly in the community doing stuff. I need to see you at Nuggets games type of thing. And Broncos games, that type of thing. No, out in the community a little bit more. Embrace the city of Denver. And you need to be part of that identity in Denver. Peyton Manning came over. Dude's just bought into Denver now. You see him all over the place. Same with, like Russell Wilson was the same way. He embraced the city of Denver. I'm here for you, Denver.
City of Denver may not have embraced him, but man, Russ tried. He tried. Like, he was all over the place. He was at Nuggets games. He was at Avs games, Rockies games. He did the charity rounds and was out and about in the city of Denver. And, like, it's tough because there are guys on this team who do that. You know, Kyle Freeland especially. You know, you had that right before spring training started, right before Rockies Fest. You have him at the Avs game in his own jersey, you know, just
shotgunning
a beer. And he had a lot of the other guys from the Rockies pitching group with him.
Yeah.
And, like, sort of ingratiating them into the city of Denver. And I think Bryant does need to do that to an extent, because we do know that Bryant isn't really available when the media is making their rounds. He tends to be a little bit of a ghost because he doesn't love that spotlight that much.
Yeah.
But when you're getting paid $182 million, you do have to make the rounds. There's some of it that you do have to do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think this thing got so overblown so fast. And it's not fair to KB. And that's really, I don't know if there's a whole lot we can say on the matter right now. Mm-hmm. I know, Skyler, that you're working on a piece that's going to be hoping to sort of wrap up this whole short-lived saga that's going to come out at some time this week at time of release. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all we can really do is wait and see what product Chris Bryant puts on the field this year. And so far in spring training, he's looked pretty solid. He's getting his at-bats in. He looks healthy. He is trying to have a good time and be a part of the team. And that's, I think, what matters right now.
Yeah. Best way to put this all in the rearview mirror, especially so it doesn't become a narrative over the season. He's got to play in like 130 games, something like that, and put up some decent numbers and contribute. And then he does that. This all gets, I wouldn't say forgiven, but forgotten. No, it gets in the rearview mirror. And best way to put down the naysayers and everything, he's got to perform. And hopefully, we're hopeful Chris Bryant can do that. We're pulling for him. He's overpaid. Rocky should never paid him that much, but he's here. Make the most of it. Yep. Let's root for guys instead of always trying to tear him down, Evan. How about that?
Exactly. And you know what? Take it for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb ebnom zoltik div.
Put it in H.
What country is this car from? It no longer exists.
All right. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to bounce into some more spring training stuff and all that good jazz. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back here to Affected by Altitude. Thanks for sticking with us. Skyler and Evan here. Spent a long time talking about Chris Bryant. Now to talk about pants. Just kidding. We'll talk about spring training. We're underway here. And it's about a full week of games now? Full week of games under the belt. We're just starting to see the trends and seeing how the Rockies are trying to operate, getting a better, clearer picture of rotation guys, what guys are bringing to spring training, lineups, and some of the position battles. And but first thing we wanted to talk about here, really interesting thing. Evan, the Rockies are running a lot on the base paths, trying to steal bases. There's plenty of caught stealings in there, but dudes are running a lot this season, or this spring.
Yeah, we had some comments from the team over the offseason and at the beginning of spring training of they want to steal more bases. They know they can steal more bases. They have a lot of really fast guys on this team and coming up through the minors, and they're definitely getting their practice in because through today, so today is Saturday, March 2nd at time of recording, just to take the curtains off because, you know, these are when we have the statistics for. Through the first few games of spring training, 9 games the Rockies have played, they have stolen 15 bases and been caught stealing 10 times. So they lead the league in total attempts with 25. They lead the league in total steals with 15. And they lead the league with caught stealing at 10. And we've seen
a bunch of those are Zach Veen.
Yes, Zach Veen got caught stealing like 3 times the other day. But it really is, I don't think the actual caught stealing numbers matter as much because it's the spring. It's guys are getting their practice in. You're practicing getting your jumps in. You're practicing doing your slides. You're practicing taking your leads. And we've seen a lot of attempts from a lot of different guys. Mm-hmm. And it's been, honestly, it's pretty cool because you know that these guys can run. Like, I hate to say, oh, you just know they're going to hit. Like we've seen previously, but they can. Where Zach Veen has stolen 3 bases, Aaron Shunk has stolen 2, Bradley Zimmer has stolen 2, and then a bunch of guys who you wouldn't expect to have stolen bases, like Sean Bouchard has stolen a base, mm-hmm. Willie McIver has stolen a base, Brendan Rodgers stole a base in spring training, and here's a guy who has no successful regular season steals in his entire career.
He's never attempted.
And for B-Rod, it's a little different because when he first got called up, he was saying like, I want to steal a lot of bases because he's got pretty good foot speed, but then he got hurt. And I think a lot of it has to do with trying to protect himself from getting hurt a bunch.
Yeah.
But it's been really interesting to see the Rockies just like really going whole hog with these stolen base attempts. And it can be a little frustrating because then they'll get caught stealing and you'll be like, well, come on, we could have scored more runs. But I always have to remind myself because you find yourself getting invested, even though these games do not matter. They are practice. They are getting warmed up for the season. And yeah, it's fun when you win a spring training game and go, yeah, we win. But it doesn't matter. It's like it's the same thing with pitching. Pitching is tough because a lot of guys in spring training are trying new things or working on specific issues. And they might perform pretty badly while they work on that. Like, oh, I'm trying out a new pitch grip and we're going to see if it works. And it's not working. Or he's trying to, you know, find a better release point or something like that. So you can have some inflated ERAs and inflated statistics. But at the same time, you can also look at things and look for overall trends. For example, Gavin Hollowell, who is gunning to make a spot in the bullpen, is kind of struggling this spring. But we also don't know, and I was talking about this the other day, is we don't know if there's actually like things that he's working on and trying to put into place. But I like the caught stealing because you're really giving everybody a chance to steal some bags. And also, it's fun. It's fun to steal a base. Like, I don't know if any of our listeners, I'm sure some of our listeners have played like baseball in high school or rec league softball or rec league baseball. Stealing bases is fun.
I didn't get caught very much stealing bases.
What?
Of course, it's easy to steal bases in high school, Evan. Like half the time that ball's flying into center field because the catcher can't throw it, or or it's a pass ball anyway.
Your little league inside the park home run on stolen bases.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see that in college sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I really like this because it's the Rockies actually showing that they want to take advantage of the speed that they've got on this team and of the rule changes, the bigger bases. that allows you to steal more bases. We saw a ton of stolen bases last year, and we saw more stolen bases from the Rockies than we had in a long time. Like, we hadn't had a guy, multiple players who had stolen 10 bases each in like 5 years or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you had Nolan Jones, who had his 2020 season. Brenton Doyle stole over 10 bases. You have guys with speed.
Yeah.
And even Charlie Blackman got in on some of the fun last year and stole a base or two.
Yeah. And it's something that they're trying to get better on, take advantage. You know, Nolan Jones, Brenton Doyle, they were the first duo since like 2018 to both have 20 stolen bases. And so, no, they're trying to do it more, and they could do it more. Ezekiel Tovar could steal more bases. Now, Brenton Doyle, Nolan Jones could, believe it or not, could steal more. And there's other guys that could get some sneaky steals in there.
Yeah.
Because 9.2.
But Sam Hilliard is another guy who's got surprising speed.
Mm-hmm. But because they need to take advantage, because scoring 9.2 runs per game in 2023 across the league because of the new rules on the bases. And so they're trying to catch up to that, do more, because there was 3,503 stolen bases, the most since 1987, and the second most in the last 100 seasons. And it was over 1,000 steals more than 2022. So Rocky's trying to get in on that action. Take advantage. Learn to get good reads. Multiple
guys stole like 40 plus bases last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like Corbin Carroll stole what, 53?
Yeah, and Ronald Acuna Jr. Did he ended up stealing 70, didn't he?
I believe so. But it's like, I do like this, and the Rockies get a lot of flack, and sometimes deservedly so, for not, you know, trying to adapt to the modern game. But this is one where you can clearly see that they are trying to ingratiate the steals into part of their game.
Yeah.
They have a lot of big, fast guys who can steal bags, and they're going to take advantage of that.
And part of that is them trying to just improve their plate discipline, their approach at the plate, so they can actually get on base and use that speed, which hopefully they can figure that out. Still a lot of strikeouts for them, but
there are walks. But at the same time, we're seeing a lot more walks.
Yeah. And specifically like good at bats from specific guys like Brenton Doyle, Montero, Tolia, guys like that.
Yeah. We might as well just dive right into this now. I am really pleased with Alayris. I'm trying to adjust because I know that I'm saying it wrong. And I got really annoyed when the Cubs broadcasters were saying his name wrong. Is Alayris Montero. He's taken some really nice at bats so far this spring. He's only struck out twice. And he walked twice in the game on Friday against the Seattle Mariners. Took some really good at bats, taking good swings. He looks really good so far. He looks confident and patient in the box, and he's drawing these walks. And the Rockies are drawing a little bit more walks. The leader on the team right now throughout spring training is Jacob Stallings, which, you know, he's got no speed whatsoever, but we'll take a guy on base. And, you know, you have multiple guys who have, through the first 10 or so games, at least a handful of walks. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the Rockies don't exactly lead the league in spring training and walks, but they're surprisingly top 10 with 32. Now, the issue is they're still striking out a lot. They have 81 strikeouts so far. As of today, which is tied for third for the league in spring training with strikeouts. And they have some guys that are striking out a lot, and some of them are the usual suspects. So you got Michael Tolia and Hunter Goodman, and Nolan Jones, who also struck out a lot last season, but also in spring training last season. But keep in mind, though, that we also have time to see these numbers go down and see people start to hit their rhythm.
Yeah.
Strikeouts are going to happen. It's part of the game, but the Rockies definitely need to tone down those strikeouts. And it starts with taking more walks. And we've seen Bud Black comment on this. We've seen Bill Schmidt comment on this, of it's okay to strike out so long as you are also taking a decent amount of walks. So it's, yeah, you want to get those strikeout numbers down, but you also want to get the walk number up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If only there was a place for Lourdes Montero to play. If only he had a position to play. But hey, build that trade stock, baby.
I do legitimately think, and we'll talk about this a little bit later when we dive full into some of the position battles, with how Monty is playing so far this spring, it is very clear to me that he wants that spot. And he is going to do his absolute best to get it. A lot of guys on the team have talked about how hard he is working, how hard he worked over the offseason, how hard he's working this spring. He wants it. You can tell he wants it. There's some fire in that belly when it comes to wanting to earn his spot in the everyday lineup.
The only problem is there's a certain $182 million contract at first base now.
But, you know,
can Monty play right field?
As dumb as it sounds, and as much as we've made fun of it, the organization has flat out said that if Monty is really good in the spring, he could be the regular first baseman.
But I don't want Brian in right field.
I know.
But it's almost like there's a log jam that they made themselves and refused to do anything about.
Again, for the seventh year in a row.
They can't find a first baseman, just like the Broncos can't find a quarterback. Weird. Yeah. But, yeah. Bit of a tangent. But let me pull up my list again here. Evan threw off my notes.
Sorry.
Let's talk about new facing camp. We'll continue a little bit of conversation about Michael Tully and Montero in our third segment. But moving along here, Sam Hilliard's back. Hooray!
So I'm legitimately surprised how much pushback this move has gotten. We saw a lot of pushback against it in the comments when we announced it over on Purple Row, and we've seen some pushback on Twitter, but we've also seen some welcomes back. I actually really like this move for the Rockies. I think it's a extremely low risk move for a guy that they know very well in Sam Hilliard. And he also fills in the boxes that they were looking for in their fourth or fifth outfielder. He's a lefty with speed. They can play all of the outfield positions.
Mm-hmm.
And people keep are like, oh, but there's already so many outfielders and he's going to block the guys. It's like, ideally, no, he won't, unless he really kills it for the rest of spring training. And they go, and I don't think this is likely, they go, well, wasn't expecting this, but Sam, you're going to be our starting right fielder. Which, and if he does that, hey, good for him. That's awesome. But he was brought in specifically, as Bill Schmidt said, to compete for that backup outfield spot. And yeah, he says in multiple interviews that he knows that that's why he is here. He said straight up, it's like, I have a lot of experience being the fourth outfielder. I've done it in Colorado. I did it in Atlanta. I understand that that's why I'm here. But I do also think I can contribute more, and I really want to play well and maybe get a chance to start, which is a totally fine aspiration. But for Sam, it's you are bringing in competition specifically to compete with Bradley Zimmer, who was signed to a minor league contract this offseason and is also competing for that fourth or fifth outfielder spot. And they're relatively similar in terms of their acumen. They're fast guys who can play all three positions in the outfield, but Sam Hilliard has a bit more pop to his bat. You know, he's got that really effortless power swing when he's dialed in. We've talked about it before on this show, where when Sam Hilliard isn't forcing his swing, he has got such a beautiful, effortless power stroke to him. But I think this is a great move, because if it doesn't work out, for whatever reason, if you decide to go with Zimmer, if you decide to go with neither of them, if you decide, you know, Sam, it's just not going to work out this time. I think, one, he'd actually probably be willing to take a minor league assignment with the Rockies, which I don't know if Zimmer would, but we'll see. And two, yes, he is on a 40-man roster spot due to waiver claims right now. But keep in mind that if you do cut him, if you designate him for assignment, you're just opening that spot up right back. Spring training, especially right now when guys are starting to get shuffled onto the 60-day IL, this is the optimal time to make these kinds of moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll play devil's advocate for those that don't like the move. It's just more of the same. We know what Sam Hilliard has been capable of, and like, unfortunately, it just hasn't worked out for him. No, just that potential has just never come to fruition. Strikeouts have always been the problem, and he knows it. We know it. Everybody knows it. And no, the guys will take their efforts. But it's just one of those things, too, for me, where you just have two players, the exact same player, competing for the same spot, where honestly, neither option's the best option. But I think Sam Hilliard, because of that familiarity with the Rockies, with Bill Schmidt, who helped scout him and draft him, and that familiarity with him and his experience at Coors Field, that gives him that edge, which, yeah, it's a decent move. Is it a great move? Eh. But it's a decent move, and it makes sense for what the Rockies are trying to do, like you said. Backup outfielder, has experience, he's left-handed, can play all three spots. Now, he'll have to show out in spring training a little bit because Bradley Zimmer's got a head start on him.
Yeah,
and that's hit a home run, and he's actually hitting good here. But it's spring training. Take it with a grain of salt. Level of competition. Bradley Zimmer's not facing off against Yoshinobu Yamamoto out there.
I get that, but at the same time, it's wild to me because Bradley Zimmer's never been a particularly good hitter. That was the tool that just never really developed for him when he was with Cleveland. He was this top prospect with great speed and a good glove, but he just couldn't hit. And even in the minor leagues last year with the Dodgers and with the Red Sox organizations, he really did not hit well. And he's coming out of the gate as one of the best hitting players on the team right now, mm-hmm. where he's 7-for-16 with 3 doubles and a home run.
Yeah. don't fall for it.
But it's the same thing of, look, we know what the Rockies' plan is. One of these guys, or maybe neither, but one of these guys is going to be your backup outfielder. And for what it's worth, I think, Sam spoke when he was speaking with Mark Stout on the broadcast on Friday and some other things, is he's been working. He knows that he strikes out too much. He knows that he has struggled. He's been talking about trying to, square up and even out his swing. And try and recognize pitch betters. And he drew a couple walks yesterday.
And he laced a double.
And he had a really nice, well-hit double. So I think it's like you said, could you have a better option? Sure. But is Sam Hilliard a bad option if you're going to go with an older guy who fits your specific criteria for a fourth or fifth outfielder? There's definitely, this is a low risk, high reward move where if he figures it out, you can trade him, you can start him, you can do a whole bunch of stuff. And if at the end of the season or towards the end, like when rosters expand and things like that, and it's time for call ups, it's you think, all right, Sam, thank you for your service. We'd love to have you back again, but we got to get some of these young guys in. Then so we inherited the, as a waiver claim, we basically inherit the contract that he got signed for from the Baltimore Orioles. It's about $800,000.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, that is very little.
Yeah. And he's arbitration controlled here for a year or so still.
Yeah. But I am, I'm by saying all of that, I'm also not trying to talk down on Sam Hilliard. I legitimately am really happy to see him back. I think Sam is a great clubhouse guy, and I think that's apparent with how he got welcomed back. He was talking about how he was out playing golf with former Rockies prospect Tyler Nevin out in Florida, because that's where Orioles camp is. And he got the call that he had been waived and the Rockies had claimed him. And at first, he really didn't know how to feel. And he got to Colorado, got to Arizona with Colorado, and all of his former teammates and the coaching staff and all those people gave him such a tremendously warm welcome. And I was like, I'm home. This is where I should be.
Yeah.
And, as much as we harp on it, with the, oh, he wants to be here. It is nice to have a guy who left the organization. Like, because that's another thing. It's like the Rockies, oh, how do we know the Rockies would get rid of him if it just works out? Because they already
traded him.
Yeah. They've already done it. But to have a guy who left the organization, had nothing but positive things to say about the organization when he left, and came back and is expressing at least publicly that he's happy to be back. You know, I think that's going to be a tremendous value in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
This season as well, because we know it's going to be a tough season. The players know it's going to be a tough season. Like, they're not dumb, but having a good clubhouse presence like Sam combined with all these other guys, I think it's a good move. And I do hope he makes it. If I'm being honest, and I'm not trying to be mean about Bradley Zimmer, I just, even though he is hitting really well, I don't see the point in having him on the opening day roster. I don't. He's not on the 40-man roster right now, and I don't see the point of opening up a 40-man roster spot for him when, as far as we know, this hot start to spring is a mirage.
Yeah. He's hitting that triple A pitching very well. But yeah, we'll see. But well, dang, this one's gone on long too. We'll take a quick break here. Happy to have you back though, Sam. Best of luck this season. We're always happy to have you. Wearing and all that charity work. It's always good to see that.
Number 16, his third number with the Rockies. How many guys can say they've had three numbers with the same team?
Well, if that jerk Nolan Jones hadn't taken his number.
But and they changed it now. I'm willing to bet. I wonder if Sam could have asked for it back, but they changed it now within the last couple of years, where I believe they do the same thing as the NFL does, where if you want to change your jersey number, you have to buy out the remaining stock of unsold jerseys.
I don't think they would have swept. I don't think he could have requested it back.
I don't know. I like 16 for Sam. I do.
A number is a number.
That's true.
Somebody else will be wearing it next year.
We were talking about a little after recording last week with Patrick Lyons, talking about how Tiny in the Rockies clubhouse, Micah Ponarelli, hands out the numbers, and it's like I've got a number picked out just for you, Sam. And it's 16, and honestly, 16 has been used for a lot of different guys of like the journeyman mentor veteran guy.
It happens.
It's kind of interesting. Last guy to wear it was Austin Wins, who taught Brenton Doyle to eat snacks during the game.
Good for him. But we'll take one quick little break here, and then when we come back, we'll close the show out with one conversation. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Here for the final segment here of Affected by Altitude, I'm Skyler Vetsevin here for Rocky Mountain Rooftop. Close things out here. Let's talk about our pal Kyle Freeland. And Freeland made his first start on Friday. Dude looked good. 93 miles per hour on that fastball. A welcome sight for Kyle Freeland, who has been pushing 88 more or less these last couple of seasons. But he says he's feeling healthy. Shoulder feels good. Through two perfect innings. You were able to watch a little bit more. I was broadcasting basketball games, so I had it on in the background, was kind of eyeballing it. But how were your thoughts on Kyle Freeland's starting?
I know it's just his Cactus League debut for the season, but he looked good. Like, he probably looked the best we've seen him in a couple of years. And he's talked about it all. He's talked about over the offseason of his elbow, his shoulder, his obliques, all feeling healthy. He feels good coming into this season and is working on getting his velocity back up. Because like you said, last year he was hitting 88, 89 on that fastball. And we know that K-Free is not a high-velocity guy. He's a finesse pitcher with an arsenal of good breaking pitches. But an 88-mile-per-hour fastball just isn't going to play regularly. And I think we saw that last year when he did struggle a bit out of the gate. But he looked really good yesterday. Only two innings pitched because, you know, it's your first outing of spring training. Hitless, scoreless innings both. Had one strikeout over those two innings, which is solid. K-Free's not a huge strikeout pitcher. No walks. He commanded his pitches really well. you know, put them in the zone, put them where you need to be. His delivery looked nice and effortless. And like we said, the most important thing, that fastball regularly hitting 93 miles per hour is exactly what you want to see from him. I was really, really happy to see that from him, especially when he's going to need to be the leader of this rotation coming into this season.
Yeah, and wasn't it like he threw pretty much everything for strikes? Like commanding the zone, got some ground outs, had a strikeout. Kyle Freeland's never going to be the big strikeout guy, but him being able to get strikeouts is going to be huge for him. And everybody, honestly, because Rockies are, I think they're up there in strikeouts for their pitchers, which, what the heck? Again, it's spring training, so. But it's nice that Rockies are trying to embrace more, like, okay, we need strikeouts. And no, walks are still a problem. Way too many walks from the Rockies right now still in spring training. Like, if that's the one thing, I don't care if they're not getting strikeouts, but enough of the gosh dang walks. And so we need more starts like Kyle Freeland, where you can pound the zone, command your pitches, get guys off balance, hit ground balls. Now you can get a strikeout in there, here and there, especially from the starters. No, that's good, because we saw Dakota Hudson the other day. Okay in his one inning, kind of shaky. His first game jitters for him, I think. Ended up walking a couple of guys. Got out of it unscathed. Same with Austin Gomber. No, not as crisp, working on some things. And we have Cal Quantrill starting on this Saturday, so fortunately we don't get to talk about it. But it's interesting to see what the starters can do. Pound the zone. Kyle Freeland, give me more of that all season. Throwing 93, we'll take it.
Yeah, and honestly, for a lot of the starters so far, the walks haven't been as big of a problem. You know, Dakota Hudson had the two, but it's honestly been a lot of the relievers and the more fringe guys who have struggled with the walks. So the Rockies do have like the third or fourth most walks so far, but they also have the third or fourth most strikeouts, and they're getting these strikeouts. Matt Cook, surprisingly, is the leader for strikeouts with six so far in three innings of work. But you've also got Jaden Hill, Anthony Molina, Carson Palmquist has looked fabulous so far. He has five strikeouts. But a lot of the walks are coming from, honestly, a couple of your journeyman guys. So Kyle Wilcox and John Curtis and Jeff Hartley. John Curtis especially, unfortunately, really struggled during his outing on Friday. And I don't think he's going to end up making the team, which, you know, stinks for him, of course. But then you have other guys like, you know, Noah Davis has two, Peter Lambert has three. But for your guys who were really looking at your starters, your starting pitchers, Austin Gomber has just one. Kyle Freeland has none. Yeah, Dakota Hudson has the two, but Carson Palmquist only has one.
Feltner
has none. I think we're seeing some good progress from them, and especially with Kyle, because Kyle had a decent amount of walks last year.
Yeah.
In addition to having that poor velocity on his fastball, he wasn't hitting his spots as well. But to see him come out and he painted the strike zone, he used all of his pitches, he looked so good. I'm so excited. I love Kyle Freeland, and he was getting a lot of grief last year because, and he knew it as well. You could see how frustrated he was. He did not pitch to the best of his abilities last year for multiple different reasons. But now you've got a guy who is, you know, now in his 30s, he's the veteran of this team. He's the veteran of this rotation. And without Herman, who, you know, numbers or not, is the quote unquote ace of the team, it's Kyle who has to sort of step into that role. He's the number one starter. He's going to be the opening day starter. I have no doubt in my mind about that. He's got to lead this rotation. Yeah. It's going to have some younger guys on it. Yeah. You know, Cal Quantrill's what, 29 or something like that.
Yeah. They're all around 30.
Yeah, except for Felty.
Yeah.
But he's going to lead this rotation through a difficult season. And if he can continue to just do what he did yesterday, hit his spots, throw strikes, utilize all his pitches well, I think he's going to have a much better year this year.
Yeah.
And that'll make me happy. I love Kyle Freeland. I really do.
Yeah. And if the offense, you know, like we talked about before, they can get on base more, steal more bases, create more runs, scoring opportunities, give him some stinking run support. Like, I feel like it's maybe a hot take, maybe too early to say, but I think we have something. We could see something closer to like 2017 Kyle Freeland, 2018, back to vintage Kyle Freeland.
Yeah.
Pounding the zone, getting ground balls, getting outs, being quick, efficient, effective. That's what we need from this team, especially from those starters. Quick, pound the zone. Evan, what's the most important pitch in baseball?
Knuckle.
Strike one. That's the most important pitch, is a
Vulcan
strike
change.
One.
12 strike six one. Ball. Slurve.
The spitter.
Fork ball.
The ghost fork ball. But that's the most important. Pound the zone. Throw strikes. Walks will haunt.
Yes.
And know that when you're a pitcher, when you're a starter, you have a little bit more leeway when it comes to walks. Like, say, if you limit it to one, like if you can just limit it to one, like once an inning, you can live with that. It's not great, but that's a little more manageable. But it's when your relievers are walking one or two guys in their one inning, that's when it gets messy, especially because then they get shaky. Just the nature of being a reliever is very volatile and shaky.
Oh, for sure.
But the starters are managing their walks, I think, is going to be huge.
I think it's also going to be innings for Kyle. He needs to have a full healthy season, something he hasn't really done since 2018, honestly. He came close in 2022, where he made 31 starts and pitched for 174 and two-thirds innings. But he needs to stay healthy as well. And that's going to be a thing for this whole rotation, mind you, especially when reinforcements are not coming.
Yeah. Like 180 innings from like pretty much everybody. Not too shabby. You'll take that. Yep. And if one guy can like push up to 200, like not too shabby.
I legitimately think the guy that's going to push up to 200 is Kyle Freeland.
Yeah.
I think if he can keep things going this year, and I'm not asking for 2018, almost Cy Young finalist Kyle Freeland. I am asking for, you know, just around then of your good command and working quickly and working effectively and showing that finesse, just like you said, Skyler. He can be a guy who's getting, you know, 6 to 7 inning starts, getting his quality starts.
Yeah. And it's moving quick, being efficient. I think that's the takeaway here is we just need all these starters, Kyle Freeland especially, be efficient, pound the zone, work quickly, you know, and get guys out however you can. Like, yeah, strikeouts, nice, but ground balls are more democratic.
Yeah.
They're efficient.
I'm really excited to see how Cal Quantrill does.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the game today is not going to be televised as far as I'm aware. It's a radio only broadcast, but it'll be interesting to see how he does, because I really do think he is the most likely candidate to be the number two starter behind Kyle.
Yeah, it probably will, because they like to break up the lefties.
Yeah, I think the rotation is probably going to look like, and this is, I know, early, it's going to be Freeland, it's going to be Quantrill, it's going to be Gomber, it's going to be Feltner, and then I still think it's probably going to end up being Dakota Hudson, but we'll see about that number five spot.
Yeah.
It could be Molina, honestly. Molina's looked...
He's going to be a reliever.
To start, but I think at some point they're going to need to try and put him in the rotation and see how he does, because ultimately their goal for him, I believe, is to have him start ball games.
Yeah, they're working on him tinkering and actually figuring out a third pitch.
But I will say Molina's actually been pretty interesting so far this season. He's given up some contact. Yes. 4 hits in 3 2/3 innings, but 5 strikeouts, no walks. He did hit one batter, but he's interesting me, honestly. More so than I thought he would when I picked him up. I didn't hate when we grabbed him in the Rule 5, especially because with Rule 5, you know, you sort of have to have him on that opening day roster unless you want him to go back to the team you picked him from. But what I have seen so far, I am intrigued.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. It'll be definitely one to watch this season, especially, and see how he develops.
And, you know, that's the fun thing about the season. I keep saying, people keep asking me, what are your expectations for the Rockies? And I go, we're going to be bad. But I actually think we're going to be a lot more fun to watch than we were last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because last year, remember, it felt like a slog. But the Band-Aid's ripped off. We already lost 100 games. Now we can just settle into our comfy rebuild chair and we can watch things develop. We can see how Brenton Doyle and Nolan Jones do in their sophomore seasons. We can look for the rebound of Chris Bryant. We can enjoy Charlie Blackman's potential final season here in Colorado. We can look at these interesting prospects develop, Ezekiel Tovar, who's going to be the Rockies all-star this year. There's storylines to follow that I think are going to make this season, it's going to be more fun than last season. I really do think that. Because, yeah, you know, last season, especially towards the end, we were all kind of miserable.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tough year. And
after a 20 loss season a month to begin the season, it was all downhill from there.
But we had some things to grasp at that. Like Nolan Jones, his 2020 season, I was at the final game of the year when he got his 20s. That was so much fun. And that the crowd was so excited for him. And that's the thing, is that you can be a bad team and you can still be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be the Rockies this year. And I know I've derailed us with this part of the conversation, but it is something I wanted to bring up, where, you know, you have guys like Anthony Molina, you have potentially, you know, Julio Carreras fighting to be the super utility man for the team. And you have all these prospects on the fringe and all these guys looking to make comebacks and things like that. Like, we have multiple pitchers who are probably going to be in the rotation who are looking to sort of reestablish themselves as a quality big league arm. I like those kinds of storylines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all a precursor to trying to contend 2025, hopefully, or begin that. Opening that window a little bit more, which would be a welcome sight for all of us here at Affected by Altitude and probably Rockies fandom in general. But I think that's going to close it out here for this edition of Affected by Altitude. As always, we appreciate you tuning in along with us and looking forward to continue to do this more throughout the season. Evan, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Threads and Schwinstagram at Evan_Lang27 and on Blue Sky at EvanLang27.bsky.social. You can find Rocky Mountain Rooftop on Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Rocky Mountain Rooftop. That's at RockyMTN Rooftop. Find me writing the Monday Rock Piles now, which is really weird to say because I've been doing Thursdays for a hot minute. Mm-hmm. I'm switching to Mondays, and I don't know if we've officially announced it yet, but I am going to be taking over our minor league coverage via the Pebble Report from Kenneth Weber. So Kenneth is taking over on my Thursdays. He's got a pretty busy life and just needed to hand off the Pebble Report, and it's something I'm really looking forward to doing. So stick around for that. That'll probably start, you know, a little bit closer to the beginning of the minor league season. Skyler, where can we find you at?
Find me over on the Twitters at @sideline_crowd. You can also check out our @everyRockyEver. We will have a new episode coming out this week. We just haven't recorded it yet as of recording, but we will. Life gets busy. But you can also check out us on Instagram, Rocky Mountain Rooftop, same handle as we have on Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe us here on YouTube as well. Follow along on your favorite podcast platform, leave reviews, and let us know your thoughts on the coming season or your thoughts on Chris Bryant, all that good stuff. Just maybe be a little civil.
Yeah. We ran a little long today, and unfortunately we got to cut it, but we'll definitely have more for you next week. Especially we'll want to talk about next week, checking on Michael Tolia and Alaris Montero, the two guys who are, you know, I think fighting the hardest for those opening day roster spots right now.
Yeah.
But we have to go let Skyler do basketball.
Yes. I got to get ready. I got to take a shower. Or do I? Tune in next time to find out if I do.
The kind of cliffhanger on the you'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
No. Well, this has been Affected by Altitude. I'm Skylar. That's Evan. Until next time, farewell.